Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today as always by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports, and joined by former U.S. international midfielder and NWSL analyst Lori Lindsay for today's episode, where we're going to be previewing the United States women's national team versus Colombia. Before we get into everything, a quick reminder to subscribe to us on YouTube for NWSL extended highlights, exclusive interviews, our live recaps, and so much more. YouTube.com/AttackingThird. Hit subscribe. It helps us out big time here at A3. Hey, everybody. It's good to be back with you both. How y'all doing?
Great to see you. Welcome back. Happy freaking birthday.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, we celebrated Sandra's birthday this week. We got Lori back on the show. I am happy to be here. Thrilled to be with you both.
I'm thrilled to be with you both, too, talking soccer as always. We got a big one here. We got a couple friendlies that we got to preview, but these aren't no little friendlies. Okay, these are the friendlies that are going to be taking place ahead of the CONCACAF W Championship, the World Cup qualifier. So a little bit of a tune-up here for both of these teams, quite frankly, because for folks who may have missed it, we did the Colombia side of this preview with Melissa Ortiz to talk about all things Colombian football. And now we're going to be taking a deeper dive on the U.S. women's national team side of things. So for Colombia, they've got Copa America, which is also serving as their qualifiers as well. And the United States have the CONCACAF championship that's going to be taking place just after these friendlies, beginning on July 4th in Monterrey, Mexico. So yeah, maybe on the calendar it looks like a regular international window, but there's some things to iron out here. I think we can all be in an agreement ahead of this CONCACAF championship window. Let's talk about that. Let's start there. There was a lot of reaction to the rosters that got announced for these friendlies, because the way the U.S. Soccer Federation went ahead and announced these things, they announced that the Vlaco had named a number of players on the roster, but it was a dual roster. Here's 26 players who are going to be available for these June window friendlies. But within these 26 players, here are the 23 who will also be heading to CONCACAF Championship in Monterrey. So let's start there. Let's talk about how there are going to be two games, both on the 25th, on Saturday, June 25th, and Tuesday, June 28th. The first in Commerce City, Colorado. The next in Sandy, Utah. For both of these matches, and a little bit of a, like I said, I refer to it as a tune-up. So I think maybe let's start with the fact that that's kind of maybe the storyline going into this one. When those rosters dropped, we can both agree that there were a handful of players within this roster that probably need to get a little bit of a run out before they go and face off in kind of a very big tournament that's going to have implications for qualifying for the World Cup and going to have implications for qualifying for the Olympics. So I'm going to go with you here first, Lindsay, because you are a former player. You have the experience that Lisa and I don't have and can't give insight to. When you are getting ready, when you are getting in the mind space to sort of take on this sort of tune-up game, let's say, you know, these matches that take place ahead of a very big tournament. And we've seen that we're going to see them happening this week. We've seen it happen before with those Olympic send-off games, you know, World Cup send-off games. What's the mindset like as a player going into these type of games ahead of such a big tournament?
Yeah, I think it's kind of exactly what you said. It's a tune-up, right? And I think, you know, we've talked about this on the U.S. Women's Action Hour and even on just Attacking Third in general about, you know, gone are the days when the U.S. gets to come in and, like, have a plethora amount of time, these players together for leading up to these, like, major tournaments or the qualifications. So it is important to get players connected on the field as much as possible. So as much as I think some of us would like to see rotation of the lineup or even some of the three players when there's a 26 group, some of the three players, particularly like a Sam Coffey, Carson Pickett, Jalen Howell, the three getting some time in there, I'm not so sure we will, because historically we've also seen Vlatko go with fairly similar lineups when there's been like back-to-back friendlies as well in different international breaks. So I think we're actually going to see a fairly similar lineup in both of these that we'll see headed into the qualifiers, just to get solidified with what group he wants, get them some connectivity out in the field. And then obviously once you get into the tournament, you'll start to see a little bit more rotation and then subs made at different times, depending on score lines and the details within the game. But for these two, I think we'll start to see very much a similar lineup and not a ton of change.
I agree with that, because although it would be great to see Carson Pickett, Sam Coffey, Jalen Howell get minutes, right? Significant minutes, see how they compete with the national team. Even if they don't see time in either of these June friendlies, they are at the training camp, and that's a huge assessment tool for someone like Vlatko Andonovski for the future, because he knows that these three aren't necessarily, they're not coming to Mexico for the W Championship. They are here purely to be evaluated in training and see how they gel with other players. And to have them in that professional training environment with the national team is huge for those players, but he is looking ahead to the W Championship and qualifying for the World Cup and potentially the Olympics, and having so many players, just 10 of these 23 that are going to Monterrey, Mexico, have experience in World Cup or Olympic qualifiers. The other 13, they are making their debuts at the senior level in this type of environment, which is huge. That's a huge stepping stone to be in that type of situation, in that type of environment. Also, not on American soil, right? They're going to Mexico. And because of that, it's a whole different factor about the facilities and the field and the fans and who's going to be cheering for them. And all of those things come into play. But specifically, when we look at just the two friendlies coming up against Colombia, I agree. I don't think we're going to see Pickett, Coffey, or Howell get minutes. However, I agree with Lori 100% in that the lineups that we'll see from one game to the next will be pretty consistent. And depending on how they do and how they mesh well together, I would expect to see that come July 4th when the U.S. starts to play in the W Championship. But it's still a huge experience, right, for these three extras that are getting called in. And, I mean, I would love to see them, but, like, yeah. I doubt that's going to happen.
I just think it's too close. I'm with the both of you. I think looking ahead to things, we're talking about a game on the 25th, a game on the 28th, and then boom, July 4th, this tournament is kicking off. It's just too close of a window to still try to have maybe this thought process of, let's try to get some looks at other players in other positions here. Like, that's the window for that is shut. It is absolutely closed. And, you know, we talked a lot about how this roster, there were things like injury, the things like pregnancy that were coming into play that kind of shaped this roster for the United States going into the qualifiers and essentially these two friendlies as well. But I think looking at some of these players who are the newer faces called up to this roster are players that they're going to want to try to get some minutes under their belt. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we saw somebody like a Naomi Girma getting some extended time in either of these two matches against Colombia. And I'm a little curious as to where they see somebody like a Taylor Korniak, if she's going to be utilized in the game plans in an extensive for an extended amount of time or minutes in either of those games. So I think there are certain things positionally that I think we can maybe look at and say that we might actually see a new face technically here or there within these friendlies, but for how long and for how often, I think that's a little bit up in the air still, and we'll see. And in terms of a starting lineup, are there actual players across this roster that you do want to see get some extended time, whether they're newer players or players that have been mostly called in under Vlatko and Andonovski over these last 6 months? Like, is there that concept, Lori, where maybe at this point in time, you know what somebody like a Mal Pugh is bringing, or you know what somebody like a Sophia Smith is bringing? Are you still rolling the dice this close to qualifiers?
Well, we do know what they're bringing. They're bringing MVP status in the NWSL right
and
now.
Goals.
No, I mean, I think those two for sure are givens. Like, they're for two of the first players that you're putting on that start sheet, right? Going into these games. And I don't think that will change as long as there's like little factors, because everyone's a little bit in different areas of accumulation of NWSL games. So that does have to be taken into factor of where people are headed into these games. And that's one of the main reasons why I see if there's any changes outside of like what Vlatko is really kind of like, this is what we're going with, would be just that. Like, how are players managing fatigue? Because a Washington Spirit player would look very different than maybe a Gotham player who's played like three less games or something, let's just say, right? I'm just throwing that out there with the amount of games in a short amount of time. So, there's certainly players that I want to see. I mean, I think even when we did our last prediction on what our starting lineups would be, I would like to see Girma and Cook in that back line, right? You know what Becky Sauer is going to bring. Becky Sauer is going to bring you. You know, depending on how many minutes or if you want her leadership back there, great. But I do think it'd be interesting to have a Girma and a Cook as a starting partnership. Huerta on the right side, I would love to see. Fox on the left. So there's some players. I mean, I like your shout out about Korniak. And depending on how it's going in camp, we'll see. I don't know necessarily she'll get a start in these games, but there might be one or two tweaks that are a bit of a, not a surprise, but that he might go with a different look. Otherwise, you know, I think that we might see a typical group that he has rolled out going into these games.
I mean, looking at the forward line, I'm pretty sure we can all agree it's going to be Mallory Pugh, Alex Morgan, Sophia Smith to get the start up top. And he's even said that those are players that he wants to get time together and consistent minutes on the pitch. Frankly, for me, in goal, I want to see Aubrey Kingsbury get a start and maybe a full 90. She's only got one cap with the national team. Casey Murphy, she's got four heading into this one. However, I think Kingsbury deserves more time and more consistency. We know Alyssa Nayer is going to be the one for the U.S., I think, at this point. But I want to see Kingsbury get a full game, a full 90, get the start, see what she can do in a back line, especially in possession with the U.S., right, who may not face that many shots. How can she organize and lead from the back? You can still assess a goalkeeper's talents and skills and leadership in that sense. Totally agree. Girma in the back line. I think she needs to get time right at this rate. If there's injuries happening, like, who else is really going to step into that back line when you look at this? Besides, if you have a Sauerbrunn and a Cook starting, he doesn't really like to put Emily Sonnet in the center back. So then that really leans on a Girma, and she deserves some minutes, especially before qualifying. It would be a shame for her to get you know, her second cap in CONCACAF qualifying game that would be happening there. But in terms of the outside back roles, if I want to ask you guys this, with the outside backs that are listed on this roster with Emily Fox, Sofia Huerta, Sonic, Kelly O'Hara, is there a rotation of players that you want to see, or do you think it'll be consistently Emily Fox getting that start on the left? Could we see rotation of players? And then between like an O'Hara and a Huerta, which one do you think should be playing more minutes in that role?
You know, I think for me, when I'm looking at sort of the fullbacks in this one, for these two friendlies against Colombia specifically, I think you're having Kelly O'Hara be the player to sort of be that player that gets rotated out. She had kind of been dealing with some injury with the spirit in the last few weeks during NWSL regular season, and a big part of that was also because of the very match heavy schedule that the Spirit also have been dealing with in their opening months of the regular season. But now that she's coming back into form with just in general, both for club and country, you have to imagine that for a player like her with her experience, that she knows that she's got to probably get some minutes under her belt going into qualifiers. So I would imagine we actually do see her a lot more than maybe people were anticipating ahead of the CONCACAF qualifiers. I think the other argument for other folks might be, well, you want to save those legs for whatever amounts that you have left of them for the qualifier specifically, but I think you want to try to go in with your best foot forward. So I wouldn't be surprised if she got some extended minutes in at least one of these games with some combination of either Huerta or Fox kind of being the player to rotate. So I think between the three of these players, they might be splitting a shift here, you know, within these two friendlies against Colombia.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. And again, I'm obviously they're going to have the staff monitoring these players and rotating. Yeah. But yeah, I agree completely. And, you know, to Lisa, to your point about Emily Sonnet, no, she doesn't typically play center back under Vlatko. And so she might be one of those players. We've seen her rotate into that left back position. So alleviate some of the amount of minutes that Fox gets too. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I would like to see Huerta, though, get quite a few minutes of that right back position. I think she's been excellent with OL Reign. And, you know, different player than Kelly in a lot of ways. But it'll be, you know, that partnership between whoever's playing in the midfield, if that's Rose, obviously they have the connection on OL Reign, even though we've seen Rose play a few different positions for club. But, you know, it's something that Vlatko always talks about is the three on the right side, the three on the left, which typically is the outside back, the winger, and that midfielder on that particular side. So it'll be interesting to see his looks into what he's looking at in terms of partnerships and connectivity, right? And how that looks differently from the right side to the left side. And, but I think that would be, I would like to see that partnership if it is so Sophia Smith and Huerta and what that looks like and how that affects each other's game, really. Right. So
in terms of the lines going vertically down the pitch, and that is something that, I mean, it is important in the game, whether it's the outside back, midfielder, and then the forward. If you look at the Washington Spirit players on this roster, there's quite a few of them. And if you do vertical lines down the pitch, someone like Kelly O'Hara, Ashley Sanchez in the midfield, does that maybe call for more rotation of a player like Ashley Hatch or Trinity Rodman into that front line? Maybe shaking up the trio of Mallory Pugh, Sophia Smith, Alex Morgan in that sense. If you think like that's a big factor for Vlatko to look at those vertical lines, do you think we could see that, Lori?
In terms, you mean of like if Hatch coming in because of
her, just like a little bit more rotation from a player like Hatch to see how she plays in a vertical line with someone like Sanchez, even Sullivan, right in the midfield, we could get double and then an O'Hara in the back line.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that is taken into consideration. We've talked about that, right? Like of having to be able to have that kind of understanding and on the field, like when you're going from club into country, and that will be, I think, continue to be even more important. But also when you get into, they're going to have these training sessions leading up. And I think Vlatko is going to be like, This is who we're going with.
Yeah.
And at some point in time, that will be a part of the consideration. But I also think that's not going to be the full picture either, right? I think sometimes you're looking at the whole three games at first. How are we going to rotate players in general? How is everyone feeling? How's fatigue set in? And then also within a game, and then who you're playing, who's your opponent, and what does that look like? Does that call for something different? And I spoke about that before in terms of depending on who you're playing, do you go with an Ashley Hatch? That's a different player than Alex Morgan, right? Depending on how you expect maybe the opponent to play you. Are they going to play a higher line? Are they going to play sit back? So I think those are the things that are going to be looked upon more so once you get into the tournament. But in this group, I think it's just going to be about who's ready to play and who Vlach is looking for to play a big role going into the championship and the qualifiers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Let's stick with this energy here. We're talking tactics, maybe positionally right now, but let's shift a little bit to maybe what we could be seeing on the pitch. And again, I want to shout out the episode that we did with Melissa Ortiz talking about Colombia can kind of inspired this next segment. Shout out to Kickoff Coffee.
Coffee, Lori's got it. She's ready to go for these late night matches happening. Yep.
Looking at, let's identify maybe this middle third here, because this is something that we asked Melissa and we want to maybe bring up to you too as well, Lori. What we might see work out for Colombia, maybe an advantage that they could have or an opportunity in front of them. And she kind of talked a little bit about their midfield and how maybe that could be an area of strength for that team to go ahead and lean on. When you're looking at sort of maybe the tactical lineups or sort of the tactical things positionally here in the middle third between these two teams, what are you going to be looking at here?
Well, one, I'll be looking to see who is starting in our three, right? I mean, there has been a lot of dialogue and discussion around the only true number six being brought in is Andy Sullivan. So then how does, and listen, we've had a lot of discussion too about, okay, so then how, it doesn't look like there's going to be any changes in terms of formation, right? And I don't think you need to, but how does that look? How do players play differently? What does that look like, again, in terms of the opposition? So Anna Sullivan, no doubt, will be, I feel, to be the six in there, and how does she control the game? But then let's say Lindsey Horan and Rose Lavelle are playing in there. How does that adjust Lindsey Horan's? What is the direction that's given to her in terms of her game? Does she drop back a little bit to help set play too? Does Huerta, who's the outside back, pinch into number six when they're in possession as well, right? Like there's different factors that you can plug in and little different principles of play that adjust how the U.S. is playing. So, you know, in terms of Melissa Ortiz, like I like what she said, and she spoke about Catalina, for one of the players specifically coming in who could like lead this team, and they're going to be their strong suit in the midfield. So I'll be curious about, you know, Colombia and how they set up, and then how do we adjust, right? No doubt, you're talking about our front three, like they've been dynamite in the NWSL so far. There's going to be pressure. It's going to put Colombia's defense right from the get-go, right? Like we've seen that time and time again. But then as the game settles in, then how do we make adjustments? And I also think to Melissa's point, you know, they have a lot of fresh faces coming into their team. But I think in a lot of ways, for some of these nations, gone are the days where they're like, the U.S., right? Like players are playing consistently. They're playing professionally. They're now, how do you deal with the pressure of the U.S. and our ability to attack in numbers and continue to put on players is a whole nother thing. But I think that they're going to come out and they're going to utilize their midfield and they're going to say, hey, let's try to play. Let's try to keep the ball and be mindful about their positioning. So I think that'll be an interesting adjustment and how, and it'll call for action for, like, you know, Andy to step in and, you know, dictate play. And I'm excited about that because I think Andy in this first part of the NWSL hasn't had like a lot of consistent minutes coming back from injury. Right. And there has been rotation previously in that sixth position with the national team. So I think it's a really great opportunity for her.
It's going to be a huge test.
But you get it.
it's going to be a test for them, and not in a test the way that some fans are going to say, like, if the scoreline ends up being a bit lopsided, because it's still a test of the consistency and how this team and this group of players can problem solve on the pitch, because so much of it is how Colombia is going to set up, right? Like, Vlatko Andonovski and this midfield, or rather the entire 11 on the pitch, can have a game plan as to what they want to do. But if they realize in the first 5 minutes of this match that Colombia has overloaded their midfield and they've really stacked a lot of players in there to make it very congested, how does the United States respond to that and react to that? And a lot of that problem solving is going to stem from Andy Sullivan. And if she can be the problem solver in those situations and finding the space and creating more space, whether that's dropping back and opening up that midfield a little bit. Lori, one thing you mentioned that I thought was very interesting, perked up my ears on that, is a double pivot in the six, or rather if a Sofia Huerta on the outside will come in. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. In terms of how the United States has historically played against Colombia, these two teams played in January of 2021. And in that match, where the midfield for Colombia was also very strong, a lot of the space was on the flank. And a player like Sofia Huerta is someone that you want to keep out wide. Although she can play in the middle and she can problem solve because she is so versatile, her strengths are on the width of the field and getting the ball into the space, combining with those midfield players, bringing herself farther down the field into attacking positions. So I don't foresee a Huerta or an O'Hara, whoever the outside backs may be, a Fox, cutting inside in that
moment. Okay, yeah, let me explain a little bit more then what I'm saying, because, like, let's say Fox does have the ball and she's providing the width, right? And it's on the other side. I'm not saying Huerta's just going to cut inside all the time. I'm saying you don't ultimately want Huerta and Sophia Smith, if they're playing on the right side, staying in the exact same line, because that's predictable. And when teams are organized defensively, which Colombia will be, then if you're just staying in the same plane or on the same line, then that's you're defended easily, right? So it, when you think about verticality and the movements, then where is, let's say it's Roosevelt. Where is Roosevelt pulling out to? Is she going to be out wide a little bit? Is Sophia Smith going to cut in? Then you do need a where to pinch in a little bit. And we do see her with that with OL. Yes. And we've seen her hit a brilliant goal early on in the season. It might have even been in the Challenge Cup, by pinch in on top of the 18, right?
Yeah, so like a weak side pinch in, a weak side coverage to support.
Yeah, but even if the ball is on that side, yes, I agree that Huerta is excellent in the wide areas, but you also have to look at what the game's giving you. And so if Sophia Smith is providing the width, then again, does it do any good if Huerta's just providing the width in the same plane as well? So how does the fluidity work in terms of not being... It's angles, right? Soccer's angles. So
totally.
It's angles, it's where you're moving. And one of the reasons why I really enjoy Huerta's game, and we see this with Fox on the other side and Crystal Dunn when she's playing, absolutely, having a bit of a free role on what that looks like. And that doesn't mean you're just going down the line and crossing the ball. Like, they all have the understanding and the ability to be able to cut in at times. Yep. And when I say a double pivot, I'm not saying that Huerta is also just sitting next to Andy Sullivan. But in the men's game, we have seen this with Bayern Munich. They do have a player as their outside back that steps in as the six in possession to also, like, be in a place of, like, when the ball does turn over, do they have cover? But then also when it does turn over, or they do keep possession, you have proper angles to be able to work off of that. And if you're not going to play a true two holding, then how do you manipulate the game in a way
to create that coverage
around? Yeah. Now listen, I'm not saying that's going to happen against Colombia, and that is it is options is what I'm saying, right? And as the game evolves, and we've seen this with players, and the outside backs for our team continue to evolve in their free role, which the players that we have in those positions should, then that's these are options that are available, right?
I love talking about these options.
Given that I don't foresee a formation change, nor does it necessarily have to happen, right?
So no, I agree. And I love talking about these options, and that's why I'm going to continue to pick your brain here. So when we look at our front line and the options that are there, right, like Alex Morgan is going to play that nine, that center striker, which is a very different look than someone like Katarina Macario, who is not called in, ACL injury, very unfortunate. So now it shifts a little bit as to what that front line is going to look like, because say if a Macario is in there, she's one that's really going to drop back and play almost a false nine and rotate with that midfield. How do you see the rotation from the central midfielders or the attacking midfielders and that front line, whether it's centrally or out on the flank? Do you see anything different there based on the personnel?
Well, I do see. I mean, you're completely right. I mean, that's a totally different player, Alex Morgan to Katarina Macario, right? But Alex Morgan also can play back to goal. And she also, as we saw over the weekend with the little connection of her and Taylor Korniak, she can clearly make the runs of like inside out. I mean, listen, she's called. Listen, this is her first call up in a while, but she scored how many goals at the international level? We're not talking somebody who's never been at this level before. So, I think the exciting thing about the U.S. team is when you look at these players, a lot of them are vastly different, right? So they're giving you a different look. So I think, you know, in some cases, how does that look with Alex Morgan? How does Mal Pugh play? We see her with Chicago almost drop back as a midfielder. Will we see that with the U.S.? And then how can she link up with Alex Morgan? I do think in these games, though, we will see Alex Morgan play a bit more back to goal and be a little bit of an outlet to link up with the midfielders, because I do expect at times, not always, Colombia to get compact defensively, have numbers behind the ball. So, you know, I'm not so sure there'll be a ton of space in behind. Now, we have been wrong about that before. I've been wrong because there are games in April, right? Like, I didn't expect Uzbekistan to come out and play high line, and they did. Yeah. Goodness, there loads of space, right?
So you never know, honestly.
I do think it depends on how Colombia decides they want to utilize these games, right? And that goes back to my point about gone are the days where teams are like, oh, let's just sit back and be as compact as possible. Yeah. And like, you know, like teams are like, no, we are advancing.
Let's see.
We want to get better. Yeah.
Well, these are also the games to do that, though. Like, I'm just like sitting. I feel like I'm part of the other audience here, listening to the two of you. Like, I'm just like, yes, because part of that is I think these are the two types of games in which they can do that, because these are like we refer to them at the top of this segment as kind of the tune-up, and these are two teams that both have bigger pictures in front of them.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, Lori. I'm curious as to maybe if we are going to see something a little bit different from the Colombian side specifically.
Yeah.
And that's something that Melissa Ortiz alluded to in our episode about Colombia. She said how she was almost disappointed that Colombia was playing the United States right before their World Cup qualifiers, because this is an exhausting game to defend and to chase because of the high energy, the transition, the high press that the United States puts on opponents. So I'm thinking that we might see something a little different from Colombia in terms of the fluidity of the game, whereas in certain moments of the game, Colombia is going to attack and they're going to look to put their offense and pose it onto the United States. And then there are going to be other moments where they almost sit back and try to catch their breath, but I don't mean it like that. More just sit back and assess defensively, okay, what can we do now in those types of moments? So I really think it's going to be a game that is going to require the players to read in game what's happening and adjust on the fly as to what the opponent is giving them on both sides of it for Colombia and the United States, and then how to make those adjustments in game on the fly based on the personnel that they have already on the pitch.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want to, before we start closing this out, because this is something that I also asked Melissa when we were doing the Colombian side of the preview, and I wanted to bring to you as well, Lori, like looking at the history between these two teams. I love looking at it because even though it's going to be the ninth and the 10th time that they're playing each other, but a lot of these games between these two teams have come very recently, like within the last decade. And then there's obviously some things from within the Olympics that you could probably attest to as well when it comes to going up against these teams. I think people look at on paper, they look at those score lines and they sort of throw that out the window. They throw out the concept of a rivalry between these two and teams and just say that doesn't exist. But I think that's a little unfair because I think if you're looking at records between teams, I mean, you can maybe use the same argument against Canada, that United States has a better record there too. And somehow yet they are heralded as the main rivals of the United States, right? In terms of the North, in terms of the Americas, whether it's North Central or South. So when I'm looking at the history between Colombia, I am like, you know, there's actually a good rivalry here between these two teams. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that with us on the USA side of things, because Melissa spoke with us a little bit about it on the Colombia side of things.
Yeah, I think anytime you put on the jersey for the US too, you realize that everyone's showing up like to play their best game, right? And that has evolved over the years and exactly what we've been talking about throughout this podcast. The game's grown and is growing. Yeah. And so there's more opportunities, more players are playing, they're playing against best players. So, and when you play the US, you also know it's like, here we go. There's going to be a lot of pressure and there's going to be players coming off the bench that can apply the same amount, right, of pressure and withstand the same amount and go, and they want to score goals, right, where it works. So I think that's part of it. But also on the other side is we play a lot of games, the US does. So it's a scoutable team. And so it is the most scouted, and that's a huge advantage for a lot of these players and teams coming in to understand some nuance of what the U.S. is trying to do and how to stop. And so I think that always adds an interesting element. And there's been some fun games. Like, I mean, we play, to your point about the Olympics, right? And then the World Cup, regardless of the score line, I mean, this is going to be a good Colombia team, right? And they're going to be organized and they're going to be understanding what's the task at hand about what actually is a top of mind, which is qualifying for the World Cup next month for them, right? So yeah, there's always some excitement when these teams play. And like I said, regardless of the scoreline, they're much tighter than sometimes the score always shows. So I think this is going to be fun, and there's going to be some young and new players for Colombia that will get opportunities. That is always just going to continue to elevate their nation as well. So
I love that. Let's start closing out. Let's close it out on this one, since we both agree that you know, there's going to be a scoreline that's going to look a certain type of way, maybe in these games, and we're all excited to see this combination of Smith, Pugh, and Morgan in some capacity. And when you hear those names in the lineup, you imagine that yes, there will be some goals happening. So let me ask you guys this: instead of putting like a prediction or a scoreline on things, who would you like to see have a big game in any of these two friendlies over the course of the next week? Who's your player that you are zeroing in on and say you want to have really good games heading into CONCACAF qualifiers?
Well, I mean, I can't just do two. I can't just do one. I got to do two. And that,
my brain's like three, four. Like,
yeah, go ahead, name them. Drop names.
Well, listen, there'd be a lot of players actually that like would be fun to like say why I think this is right and like why not. But honestly, for me, it's without dissecting it tactically and stuff, I'm going with just with Mal Pugh and with Sophia Smith. And the reason why I'm picking those two is because they have been so fun to watch in our league. They are on fire. But most importantly, it feels like they're having fun and they're playing with joy. And I want that for them always with this national team, right? And to and it's not even like they're the future. They're the now. So we also I think they know that they like people expect them to score. Right. And they want to score. I mean, I think they welcome that. So those are the two players for me. It's like, I feel like it has less to do regardless of the score line. And if there is like a lopsided score line or not, it's more about those players are playing at an incredibly high level. And it more has to do with that than anything else than like how is Colombia defending or not or whatever, right? It's more about those players and what they're bringing. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, I love the shout to Pew and Smith. Pew is one of mine for sure. I want her to have a fantastic game, have fun with it. I'm expecting like 3 assists from her over maybe like 4 or 5 over the 2 friendlies. But like she's a huge assist player, right? And then if I look at Sophia Smith, like I want her to score goals. Like I want her to just like get so confident in finishing and shooting and finding the open pockets and slotting the ball past the goalkeeper, right? Like as simple as that sounds. But so Mallory Pugh was the one that came to mind initially for me, and like just rack up the assist, girlfriend, like go for it. And then Andy Sullivan. I want Sullivan to have a knockdown game. I want her to be firing on all cylinders, unstoppable. Defensively, the biggest lock that the United States has on the pitch, center backs, outside backs, midfielders, forwards. I want her to be defensively all over the place, stopping every play that happens. And then offensively to really control the tempo of the game and switch the point of attack. Like I'm waiting for that game from Andy Sullivan where it's like, yes, you are our 6. And I am so here for it, because I don't think we've seen that yet from her, as I am owning this position and it is mine and no one can take it from me. So I want to see that game from Andy Sullivan in either of these matches, preferably both of them. But those are my players, Mallory Pugh and Andy Sullivan.
I'm with you guys. Listen, I'm shocked that nobody chose a defender here on attacking third. So I'm going to go with it. We talked a little bit tactically about things, and if there's going to be some interesting matchups in the middle, I'm not going to be anti-long ball in this game at all. Why don't you just see a center back lob one over that entire middle third and see what happens when you lay it off to a Mal Pugh or a Sophia Smith? Just see what happens. I would love to see an Alana Cook or Naomi Girma assist in either of these games. I want to see it. Let me see the defenders in the scoreboard and in the scoreline. I would love to see it. So I'm going to be looking at those two, but we cannot leave off players like Pugh and Smith as players that we want to see have big games, big breakout moments. In these matches leading up to the qualifiers. So I'm with the two of you, but I would like to maybe see some of that as well. I think these are two center backs who have some really good vision and have some really good distribution as well. So I wouldn't mind seeing that at all. Who doesn't love a good long ball over the top? Let's see what happens. Stay tuned. Thank you everybody so much for listening to Attacking Third. As always, follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your shows. We're also available as video. Subscribe on YouTube.com/Attacking Third. If you've got questions for us, you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your question, and we will answer it during.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.